is just open these two mics here, and if anybody from the era that Keith was sharing from could add with just a short story or a memory of something that made those years so significant, and especially capturing again the spirit of evangelism and outreach that was part of that whole beginning there. We'd like to just hear from you. If anybody has just the thought to add, we don't want to have long testimonies because our afternoon will go on quickly, but anyone with a short story, and we'll help you here with the microphones. We have these new mics that kind of are hard to adjust, but we'll make sure it gets for you. So Bernice had some thoughts here.
Well, I don't know about a short story. I have to add a bit to Keith's story about our family. My dad became a Christian until after I left home. But he was a good man. His word was his word. He kind of told it how it was, whether you wanted to hear it or not. And our family was a very dysfunctional family. The reason why we were always late for church is because my dad was very domineering and controlling. And so he would put the keys on the table and dare Mom to pick them up. And it was because of Mom that we all became Christians. And there was something else I was going to say. Anyway, I asked Dad to church, and all of us asked Dad to church until we were blue in the face. And finally, I was just done. And Keith was at Bible school, and Keith was the only one that never gave up on Dad. And my mom was teaching away from home, and I was in the city. And Keith came home from Bible school, and him and Dad were alone. And Dad was very broken because he said, I don't know if God wants me anymore. So Keith was the one that got to lead Dad to the Lord. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, when I think of the old chapel, I think of the song, Mighty Army of the Young. If you can imagine, the little kids sit at the front with no supervision, and you started with the smallest ones. And like I was about 5, and we just belted out this song. And the boys sat on one side, and the girls sat on the other. And Albert winked at me, and I giggled, and I guess we were destined. What I didn't know was he was winking at everybody else, too. So anyway, does anybody know Mighty Army of the Young, or do I have to sing it by myself? Get up here. Do you know it? Okay. I'll take a drink. My hand shakes because it's a side effect of lithium that I take, so it isn't because I'm a wreck. Okay. Mighty army of the young, lift your voice with cheerful song. Send the blessed word along. Jesus lives. Once he died for you and me. Bore our sins upon the tree. Now he lives to make us free. Jesus lives. Wait not till the shadows lengthen, till you're old and grow. Rally now and sing for Jesus everywhere you go. Lift your joyful voices high, ringing clear through earth and sky. Let the blessed tidings fly. Jesus lives. I won't tell you how many years that was ago.
I just kind of realized that I'm getting to be one of those old people. I also came to the realization today that the chapel was only 10 years old when I was born. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's just hard to take. But One of the memories that I have of the old chapel, I guess, is really sticks in my mind. I actually can't even tell you when my parents started attending the chapel. One side of the family was Lutheran, the other side was United. I really don't know how we ended up at the chapel other than Bethel Bible Camp. My parents were both became Christians there, and I don't really know, and I can't even ask them anymore what made them decide to attend the chapel. Maybe somebody knows that, but I don't. But one of the things I do remember about the old chapel that has a real impact on me is when I was really little, we used to have first service at the chapel, and we were in a circle, or a square, I guess I should say. So you sat chairs this way, and this way. And my parents took us to first chapel, first service every Sunday. I remember that. And we were all carried along with them. And I was a wiggler. Oh, I wiggled bad. And Mom would put her hand out, put it on my leg. And if I couldn't quit, she'd take me out and spank me. And I had a lot of spankings outside that door at the chapel. But when we grew older and we behaved, we got to sit at the back. Does everybody remember that? As teenagers, I don't even know when it happened, but if we could prove that we were good acting, we actually kind of got to be at the teenager spot, which was behind everybody else, and that was pretty fun. But the first service at the chapel is something I'll always remember. I'll always remember those old hymns that we sang out of the Black Book, and I love those hymns. I will never forget them. They're imprinted on me.
Time this morning, but I have a memory from that first service as well. Lots of them. Uncle Tom, you know, standing there like he was going to fall over. He stood so straight. But the one I remember is Uncle Ted. Now, he only had the one arm, remember? And he was the correspondent for the chapel. He could have said, no, someone else can do it that has two arms. But he didn't. And I learned, I noticed how he would have trouble opening, because at the end of the meeting, you'd get up and you'd read the letters from the missionaries or whatever. And I noticed how he had trouble sometimes opening them. I thought, I am always going to fold my letters so that there's one corner he can get a hold of. So I always fold them a half an inch short so he can get a hold of that and open it. That's my memory.
So I just want to give a more recent memory. You know, we've been here 15 years, and I think Gospel Chapel is probably to be blamed or to be thanked for us staying here for 15 years. Before we came here, I talked with Keith from South Africa on the phone to find out if this is going to be a place where we would be able to live as a family. And so I can thank Keith for bringing us here, because that was, apart from the job situation, we knew that we had to have a home, a family home, a spiritual home, because that's far away from your own family and a culture away, completely opposite to what we used to. And then when we came here, we were really blessed by you young people that were young when this was when you were small, and then you were the grown-ups. And you were the people that really, you know, welcomed us as foreigners here. A lot of you guys, you know, Keith and the Joy and Ellen, and we went to the Letzes and to the Gurnets, but especially Eric and Anne and Cam and April, you really made us very welcome here. So I think that is testimony of what the chapel taught you as younger kids, and that you could share it with newcomers. So I think that was to us really testimony, and we hope that we can do it going forward to people coming in.
Well, that was a segue to more recent times. So I'm going to invite Tim to come, and he was going to, pardon me? Yeah, he's going to conclude with some songs, yeah. So, Tim, you come and share some of your thoughts here with us.
I'll use the one up here. So when you look through the pages of Scripture, mostly we read stories, right? When you read through the Bible, stories of people like you and I, people who God used to accomplish his mission, right? And if you saw the slideshow earlier, and we'll turn it on again at the end here as well, as it was looping through, there are images and mostly pictures of people again, right? Some who you knew and some who you don't. But each of these pictures comes with a story. And some of them, some of those people you'll remember, and if not, you can imagine, but God working in the midst of all of those different things. And as I was looking at the pictures the other day, you know, I mean, I wrote a few of them down. And these are some, you know, memories that you'll have of things that happened in our midst. You know, things like a rodeo, baptisms, Grand Prix races, wedding showers, potlucks, break forth, swim night, focus, senior services, youth for Christ, tobogganing, funerals, baby dedications, Gideons, grad tees, choirs, Mount Carmel, Sunday school picnic, first responders barbecue, that's a newer one, missions, YC, movie nights, parade floats, studies and care groups, ladies missionary bees, prayer breakfasts, weekend, missions fest, promise keepers, Awana awards, Sunday school work bees, Mexico missions trips, concerts, MOPS, prayer meeting, on and on. We could go of all the different things that have happened around here that those pictures were reminding me of what God has been doing in our midst. Through all of those, for 70 years since the building was built downtown, but for 95 years since the first meetings in the Calderwood home. But I was asked to just share a little bit about the last 30 years. When we arrived back here in September 1990, there was an average of 89 people who came here downtown, on a Sunday morning. And God had taken the congregation a long way from two families back in 1924. But since then, he's continued to work in our midst, and nowadays there's almost 200 people here, each with a story of what God has done in their lives. And I'm sure that you all have all kinds of stories of what God has been doing in our midst. Many have joined our church family over the years. Many, especially our college-age students, but families as well, have moved to the city or further away even. But people continue to serve faithfully. I was looking over the responsibility list that I mentioned this morning and thinking of others involved in different ministries nowadays, and there's about 100 different names of people who were involved here in one way or another. People continue to serve faithfully, the same as all of these names that Keith had mentioned earlier. But lots has happened in the last 30 years. This building is part of that. In 1995, as in 1949 and in 1968, when they put the addition on at the other place, God's people provided for this to be built mortgage-free. And again, in 2009, the South Addition was completed in the same way. And so that's a significant thing that has happened, or a number of things in the last 30 years. Children's clubs have continued to happen. Keith talked a lot about Bethel, and they have been very intertwined in many ways. Children's work has often been the flagship of the chapel, with Sunday school and Awana and youth and that kind of thing. This past week, for instance, there were about 70 kids in Sunday school, more than 110 at Awana, 40 or so at youth group. That's a lot of kids when you think about it, when you put it all together. God is working. And for sure, Bethel ties into that as well. Since its 1945 beginnings, it's gone from a few camps to 6 weekend camps and 8 weekday camps. And we see more than 20 kids come to the Lord every year. And so that's an encouraging thing to see. And many of those families end up here. And so Bethel has a lot of ties to the chapel as well. But it doesn't stop there. And there's that list that I read from earlier, coming from those photos of the many ways that God has been working in our midst these last 30 years. But here's what we need to remember, and this comes from what Rob was saying this morning. He's not finished writing stories yet. So let's continue to be faithful, continue to serve God, and see what he has for us until he comes again. Oh, God bless.
Comes, though, as a younger member, younger story here, I'd like to hear anyone who has just a short word of testimony of the Lord's faithfulness who does not have gray hair. Who does not have gray hair. we'd like to just hear a little bit of that, of God's working in your heart as being part of this chapel family in the last 10, 20 years beyond that.
I began coming to the chapel with my kids to Awana Club. I got saved when I was 17, and I just wanted a place to bring my kids where they would hear the Lord and where they would be encouraged in the Lord. And coming here just made me feel welcome, and we decided to make this our church home. And it was just awesome to be accepted by everyone here.
So I came to Canada in August 1969. By Christmas 1969, I'd already been asked to preach at Westlock Gospel Chapel. Let me say that it is one of the easiest chapels ever to preach in. Not because of whatever, but because I believe that this church prays for the preacher who's to preach on Sunday morning. And you can feel that when you go up into the pulpit. There is a comeback from the congregation that's saying, let's hear what God has to say. It's an amazing feeling to preach in this church. So let me tell you the story. When I first came here in the fall of 1969, it was in the place across the road there. I had had an eye accident, and I wasn't seeing too well. And as I went up into the pulpit, I tripped and fell flat on my face. So if you wonder why, when I'm coming up to preach here, I'm always cautious coming near these steps, it's because I don't want to fall on my face again like I did the first time I came in October 1969. Thank you.
I'm Teresa LeBose here. My husband and I and our two kids moved here in 2010. Before we moved, one day I was at my home in Edmonton. I was feeling very blessed. I had everything I had ever prayed for, a wonderful Christian husband, finally had a daughter after seven boys, you know. So I said, Lord, you know, I'm always asking you for things, and you've given me everything I've asked for. Now I'm going to ask you what you want from me so I can give back. And so I waited, and after the silence, I heard, I'm going to move you. And I didn't know where he was going to move us. We thought Edmonton or someplace close, but no, 2 weeks before we had to move because somebody else was moving into our other home, we had no place to go, and we drove down that 19 kilometers of dirt road to where we live now, and my husband said every step of the way, I'm never going to move here and drive this drive every day. And I said, well, let's wait to see what God has to say. But God put something in his heart where he knew that even though it was a journey for him to leave everything that he knew and felt secure with, that God would be in this place. My son and my daughter were miracle children. God saved them both. Emmanuel died. He was saved from death at his birth. My daughter was a miracle child. I don't know how she even came about. But I know that God wanted them here. It wasn't just that God wanted us here. God wanted my children here. God brought us here through Awana when Angelina was four, Emmanuel was five. From the moment they came, they wanted to come back. And it wasn't just because of the church. It was because of the people. I can remember Liz being the first person I met. She was at the door. She was with my kids. She was bringing, my kids were going with her when they would never go with anybody, but they went with Liz, a total stranger. Because they could feel God's love in her, and they could feel God's love in all the children that were here and all the people that were here. My older kids, we went to a different church. They don't go to church anymore. They stopped going when they were 12 and 13. My kids love going to church. They love going to Awana. They love going to Bethel Bible Camp, and they love helping this church to bring people to the Lord. And it's because of the love in this church and the dedication to helping other people, to help to reach the lost and the ugly, when we think we're so lovely that we see we're ugly too. And the church humbles us to not let us get too proud so that we can see that we're even needed by God. He even needs to change us. And he needs to change us by moving us forward to help others. So I just wanted to thank everybody that started this church, everybody that's in this church. This church saved my dad's life. He chose God before he died because of the prayers. He never would have gone to heaven if it wasn't for the prayers of this church. God moves in this church. So let him move you, because he wants to move you even farther than he's moved us now. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Do I have permission to share if I'm like the newest one here? Is that okay? From the oldest story to the newest story, I just wanted to share with you guys to show how the chapel is still working in people's lives. I've been churched my entire life. I was born and raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Then I married and converted and became Mormon. And I have not missed a weekend of going to church in my entire life. But about a few years ago, we were going to church in Fort Saskatchewan to the LDS Church. And I was at a place where I knew I wasn't in the right spot. And I wanted out. And so I just said, I'm not going to church anymore. So my husband faithfully kept taking my two daughters, and I was at home, and I just wasn't going to go to church with him. And I did that for about a year, and I got really lonely, really lonely. And I started to realize that I was missing out on fellowship. I really needed community, and I really needed fellowship in my life. So we had prepared Christmas boxes, and we were looking for a place to drop them off. And so I was online, and I saw, oh, Westlaw Gospel Chapel takes boxes. Okay, so we showed up on Boxing Day, on Packing Day. And right away, someone said, oh, here, come here, help us put them in the boxes. And okay, so we came in here in the chapel, and we're kids right in, putting stuff in the boxes, rubber bands around everything. And I thought, we're welcome right away. And Liz said, well, hey, why don't you bring the kids on Thursday night? You know, we have a Wana Club. And I said, don't mind if I do. And I thought that's great, because I wanted some place where my kids wanted to come and my kids would feel at home. So we came to Wana, and then we came to church. So we actually did Wana and all that first. And the first Sunday that I was here, this was about four years or so now ago, I just want you guys to know that I sat here during worship, and I knew I was in the right place, because I felt, wow, this church is alive. Like, there was so much life in here. There was life in the music. There was life in the people. I remember seeing the Ehrenholtzes raise their hands in praise, and I was just like, wow, I love the feeling in here. I feel there's life. There's vigor. There's what I needed. So I just want to share with you guys our story of how your ministries and with the Bethel Bible Camp and Awan and everything are still doing so much good in so many people's lives. Thank you.
Wow, thank you, Cindy. All right, Jared, why don't you come and share again as one of the younger leaders here in our congregation.
Yeah, so Ken had asked me to share a couple things, and I've been thinking about it, and I really wasn't sure what I could add to the history of this church, aside from how stuff got wrecked or something like that. You know, why was there an L-shaped hole in that back corner for a while? Like, I can tell you those things. You know, just as far as memories go, and I think about buildings, and I think about people. You know, being starting to come to the chapel quite young, but we were still at the old building. I remember the ramp. I remember the ramp very vividly, going up and down multiple times on a Sunday morning. I remember the pillars in the basement. You know, I don't remember rug. I don't remember rug padding in them at all. I just remember the pillars. And also being as a youth group age kid, when we had both buildings, we had this one and there, and we would spend our youth group. So I would spend my Friday evenings would be at that building. Right after school, 3:30, we'd be there until 11 o'clock at night. And now having a more developed brain, really feeling bad about most of the stuff we did there too. You know, and I think, you know, just some people. I'm at the age where most of my memories, you know, people are still alive, I guess. Sorry, that is kind of like a theme that's been coming through today. Like everybody died, you know, everybody that, you know, built into my life, and you know, I really feel like I've benefited a lot from the chapel personally, you know, Harold Lyons being up here behind this big massive pulpit, singing, like walking in the door at 11 o'clock, like you could hear Harold in the parking lot. If the door was open, it was the most welcoming sound you could ever hear. It was fantastic. You know, I think of Ben Cricky being here growing through Awana. One of my favorite memories of this chapel is hearing Ben sing "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Just those kind of memories that kind of stick with you and kind of go with you through your life. As well, like, and in my junior high years, Mr. Taylor had a big impact. He did a lot of Sunday school teaching when I was in junior high. It was when Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye had come out with that Left Behind series. It was a big thing. And so I remember Mr. Taylor teaching a class on Revelation. And, you know, just the things I learned in those classes are just, you know, formative to the things that I believe now, I guess. A lot of this history is brand new to me. I've never heard most of these stories that people are coming out with, but I'm kind of struck with how God takes our people, like our own personal problems, and creates something good out of it. You know, why was that first building built? We just didn't have enough room. You know, we came to this because we didn't have enough room, and this is kind of what God has done with the people, with the problems that we have, and he's made, you know, done so much more.
Forgiven, Savior, I'm overcome with your great love for me.
We are going to conclude in a moment here, but what I'd like to do is ask the overseers here of the congregation to come, and we are going to lead in a time of thankful prayer and gratefulness to the Lord. However, because we're celebrating 70 years of our history and what God has done here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel in this town and area, 95 years really in all, I feel that we need to also symbolically and before the Lord bless the next generations, because it's God's working in their lives that's going to see him continue on. So I've just been thinking how we could do this afternoon in conclusion. But here's what I think we're going to do. Jared, how old are you? 29. We're just going to say, approximately, those who are 30 years old or younger, I'd like to invite you to come and just stand here representing all the young people and the next generation of believers and leaders in this area. Even if you don't come to church here, I'd still like to welcome you to come. So before the young people get here, elders, you better come here first so you can make your way around them. And then all the young people, 30 years and younger or thereabouts, as we pray, we would like to bless you as we thank the Lord for what he has done here at the chapel. Then the rest of you can stand together with us behind this young generation of Christ followers and leaders, as we're believing that God isn't finished writing the story here yet, is he? God's not finished. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you so much for putting up with the history today. But you are part of the story too. And 40 years from now, you'll look like all those pictures. So let's...
I was invited up.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. That's good. So praise the Lord. Dave, why don't you start?
Sure. I got to remind you that it's before 40 years, okay? Because I'm not 70. Heavenly Father, as a group of believers, Lord, we lift up this younger generation to you. Lord, give them inspiration, give them confidence and courage to step into the roles that you have for them, Lord, whether it be here or somewhere overseas. Lord, we just pray that your blessing would anoint them all their lives. We pray that for their future families even, Lord, that you would raise up godly spouses for each one of them, that as our family is deteriorating in North America, Lord, we pray that these people would renew our faith in the family. And we ask this in Christ's name.
Father, as we continue, we think of the other children over the last 70 or 95 years who have come and who have chosen you and the difference that has made in their lives. And so even as we think of these ones here and others who are not here, our prayer is that they will make that choice as well and then continue to make those choices, the choices that make a difference in their lives as they seek to serve you. So we lift these 20 or 30 up here and the other 150 who we see around here every week, Father, that they would see that you are what will make the difference in their lives.
Lord, we thank you for the dear young people that you bring into our midst. Some of us have seen them as babies, and they're growing. We pray that you continue to help them to grow in you, Lord. Protect them from the evil one and protect them by your good name. And that they may grow in you and that they'd be godly men and women that will bring honor and glorification to you. Thank you so much for them, for their impact that they make on our lives as we get to work together. We pray that you will continue to bless this chapel, this church, with young people. And we thank you for this group here and the ones that come on other times. We do commit them all to you, to the work that you're doing in their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this church that you've given us. Lord, and as a few of us standing here, we're young ones as well before, we thank you for what the work that you've done in us, Lord, but we know as well that it's only the Holy Spirit working in our lives that can do that. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will be strong in these people, in everyone, all the young ones, but also in us old ones. Lord, as we go forward, we know the work is not done, and we pray that you will keep us strong in the faith and that we will be obedient and will be available and will be teachable to go forth and proclaim the kingdom of your, that we know that is there and that has overcome the gates of hell. We leave them in your hands. Amen.
Father, we thank you that, Lord, as we get older, that we can pass the baton on. And Lord, we pray for the younger generation that they will carry that baton till you come back. If you be not come back, Lord, to pass it on to generations in the future, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, we think of the world as we see it. Lord, the great need of people knowing about Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you offered yourself as that sacrifice. And Lord, we give you thanks for dying for us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father in heaven, I thank you for Westlaw Gospel Chapel and for the many, many years that you've blessed this place and used this place to change a community, to change lives, families, and the world. I thank you for the privilege of being part of it, for the privilege of serving with this church and being ministered to by this church. Thank you for the role it played in our family and the difference that it's made. And Father, now I pray that your love and your truth would continue to be made known here. Lord Jesus, I pray that your grace would flourish here and be experienced here in the years to come. And Holy Spirit, pray that your fellowship would prosper, undergird, and tie this community together. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So, Father God, here this afternoon, we thank you for the 95 years of faithfulness of your people. Lord, the 70 years here in Westlaw. Lord, and especially as Keith shared, Lord, that intense spirit of evangelism and outreach and making known the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father God, that by the working of your Spirit, that same passion and quickening would come again in a whole fresh wave across your church body. Lord, especially here at the chapel, we invite you, Lord God, to come and move powerfully. We ask, O Lord, your blessing on the current Awana program, the current Sunday school, the current youth ministry, that this winter we will see young people, boys and girls, come to faith in Jesus Christ. We pray your blessing, Lord, on the evangelism explosion training that we're implementing here, that again you will train us, Lord, to, Lord, witness as a lifestyle to our community. And Lord, I pray your blessing on all these young people, that God, you are raising them up, Lord, to take the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world around them. Lord, we're together as a family of this. So we're grateful, Lord, we thank you. May we be found faithful, Lord God, to continue to follow you until you take us home. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There's lots more stories, I'm sure. Carol's let me know there's coffee and snacks yet in the dining hall or in the hall, so please stay and visit a little bit longer. God bless each one of you, and have you hugged a young person today? Bless them.